seem to have solved your technical.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Pompidou section. Pompidou.
It's incredible. It's so crisp. Everything suddenly worked because I was having horrendous sound problems where you guys weren't sounding. I couldn't hear you, basically. I could slightly hear you.
Mm.
And it turned out that because people often make fun of you and they go, oh, and you just had to plug it in probably, did you? You'd forgotten to plug it in, which wasn't that. I had remembered to plug it in, right. But I hadn't plugged it in deeply enough.
People assume that's a binary thing, don't they? It's plugged exactly. in or it's not plugged in.
It turns out it's plugged in or it's not plugged in.
There's a spectrum.
It turns out that's not true. Something can be plugged in, but not enough. And that's what had happened. And I have been on the phone to experts from several international companies over the last 2 weeks trying to sort this out. I've sent emails to Australia. I've filled in online forms. I've talked to two different experts from the company that make... Can we say the name of the company?
Probably best not to.
Okay.
Audio Tech 5000. Microphone Inc.
Globosonic. the boys from Globosonic have been
talking to. Shout out to those guys.
Shout out to those guys. Really nice. I've watched several online tutorials. It's put strain on my relationship. I've been having to borrow hardware off my wife. You guys have witnessed it. I've been highly stressed, haven't I? I've been pacing up and down.
Yeah.
I've just not been...
Largely ineffectually.
Completely ineffectually. We've tried drop-down menus. I've selected so many different things. I can't even remember how many things I've selected on my screen today. I've deselected things at times. Reselected things. I've restarted. I've had to email someone to say, it's okay, you actually don't have to send me a new audio box. I've said call off the audio box. I've been getting text messages off a courier company trying to come and swap audio boxes with me because I told them the old audio box wasn't working.
It was.
I disposed of the packaging. I'd already asked my wife if I could use the box to some perfume, which she was using for receipts. I'd already secured
that
deal.
Try and plug your microphone into that.
I thought maybe the main thing about an audio box is the box, or at least maybe a lot of it is the box. If the audio isn't working, maybe switch it round, focus
on
the box.
Does it need to be fragrant? I'm currently using an odourless box. Is that the problem?
Smell is one of the five senses. Mm. So we know that the senses can come in to help out the other senses when one sense has got a problem. Maybe we can olfactory this. That's the level of thinking I was going through. Mm. Anyway.
Quite high-level stuff there.
High-level stuff.
Throughout all of that. There was a little jack just sort of half dangling out of a hole.
There was a little, and it turns out that I hadn't shoved it up hard enough into the. I just hadn't plugged it in for long enough. I'd been probably giving up. Yeah, you know, we're talking fractions of a second here. If it takes, say, what, less than probably like 3/4 of a second.
Oh, if
to
that,
plug
I would
in,
say. Yeah.
Then I was probably giving up after maybe 2/4 of a second.
And that, for me, Henry, says something about your self-esteem. I think this is a key.
That is dangerously high or dangerously low?
I would say dangerously low. You can't even back yourself to push a jacket all the way into a hole.
I'm never going to pull this off.
Either or it's a bit of both, and it's just lurching wildly between the two.
I think it's lurching wildly between the two. But I tell you what, the other thing I was getting throughout this two-week process was a general sense of creeping tech malaise. Mm-hmm. Which was a kind of irrational thought that on some level, maybe tech just doesn't agree with me. Maybe there's something in the winds of tech that will not blow kindly upon me. Maybe it's something that was established at birth.
Mm. That you should be sort of sewing big patches of felt together in a tiny cottage in the Hebrides.
Exactly. Maybe that's
making things out of straw, living in a wattle and daub hut.
But I tell you what, I do sometimes, I don't know if either of you have this, when I'm generally panicking about stuff and I think everything's a bit too much, I have a little picture in my head of an alternate life I could be living. And it does involve tomatoes, like a bunch of tomatoes on top of each other growing.
Nobody mentioned tomatoes. But you said, and it does actually. It's funny you say that because it does involve tomatoes.
No, but I think you were both heading towards a bucolic you know, veg-based life you're painting.
No, I was imagining you're making big sheets of felt. I'm not quite sure what you're going to do with them. Huge rolls, massive man-sized rolls of felt.
Okay.
But all the time you're just eating Mars bars and double deckers and Twixes, and then
hoping to God that this felt industry took off in some way, but you weren't sure how just yet.
Well, when you pick, I picture then I'm making a big balloon. I'm making a balloon. Do you think
a felt balloon?
A felt balloon.
It's never you'll plummet your death in.
That will plummet. I mean, it's the first balloon.
A hot air balloon.
A hot air balloon, but the first one
go up in flames within 4 seconds of that heat touching it. Wither to the size of a chestnut, and you plummet to the earth.
In my hamper, my burning hamper tomb,
full of tomatoes. But mercifully, we can avoid all that because your kit's working now.
Oh, I'm cooking on gas and I'm back, mate. Holy shit. Sounds... Oh, that is crisp. Oh, my Lord, that is crisp. I feel like I've just had my ears syringed, or, you know, what people say is like, after you've had your ears syringed. Beautiful, crisp, wonderful, like, cut glass sort of sounds.
You can do self-syringe, do you know that?
Really?
There's some stuff you can drip in your ears that you buy from the pharmacy, and it's like acid stuff, and it eats away.
I think it's just bicarbonate
your...
of soda, isn't it, basically?
Basically.
So it makes your ear feel all fizzy.
It's the nicest sensation that a human can have. It's bubbles in the inside of your ears.
I'm a bit sceptical of any home remedy that involves bicarbonate of soda. Because I've had so many problems in my life that I've Googled, and the solution almost always seems to involve bicarbonate of soda. It's weird how often it comes up in solutions to different
things. Why are you sceptical? Have they failed to work?
Yeah, because I tried to...
cure your asthma?
I tried to
vaccinate yourself against COVID-19.
I double booked myself. I've got some tickets for the wrong day for a musical.
bicarbonate of soda on the tickets.
I was told that if you encrusted it in bicarbonate of soda and then poured on some normal home cooking vinegar.
Right.
And left it for 24 hours.
Then you'd be going to Billy Elliot the following day.
Billy Elliot the following day. No, I tried it for for a standard carpet tea stain, and so I spilled tea on the carpet, and it said it's either bicarbonate of soda or baking powder. Again, there's a lot of confusion as to what the difference
is. Is there a difference?
Not only is there a difference, there's also something called baking soda. Basically, take any combination of baking, bicarbonate, and soda and powder, and rearrange them, and there's a product that's that.
Bicarbonate of baking.
Bicarbonate of baking. Soda powder. Anyway, but I did this thing, so I covered it in... it's always bicarbonate of soda or baking powder, one of those things. And then normally just a standard transparent home vinegar, you know, like a sort of...
A baking vinegar.
Just a baking vinegar. Now you get these vinegars that are just, they look like water. They're just like...
Yeah.
They're quite a brutal ingredient to use. I don't know what cooking and I don't know what they're for really.
But they clear the nose and throat.
They clear the nose and throat.
Yeah. It's funny though. That there's an end of like cooking ingredients that can also strip grease off an
oil soaked cat.
Yeah.
or off a tractor engine.
Mm. Yeah. There's very few things in that Venn diagram of something that you can use to flush out a tractor engine and eat at the same time.
Well, yeah, that's why you've got to be careful with this stuff. And that's why it turns out that it didn't work remotely. It didn't even remotely work because I ended up with a carpet expert coming round.
Well, for a start, that's a con man.
What was their specialism? Was it the history of carpets or...?
He was a carpet all-rounder.
Was it the person that curates the Persian rug section in the V&A Museum?
I don't know if it was that man himself, but he certainly seemed to know his way around a thread.
Mm.
He got on his hands and knees and he He looked at the stain and within seconds he was shaking his head in that, you know, the universal handyman.
Was he going, oh, mate, you're going to quote new flat.
Jake. Yeah.
Yeah. And he basically said, there's nothing I can do about this.
You're going to need a new exhaust.
Yeah. You're going to need a new
brake pads.
You're going to need a new lifestyle. And basically the baking powder, the solution I'd done had baked in the stain. He said that stain will never, ever go.
You'd made a stain cake.
I essentially made a sort of, a kind of perpetual stain cake. And the only situation I could then do was either flip the carpet, because that, but I'd already taken that option several years ago. Well, you can flip. Sorry?
Is it a rug or a carpet?
You can flip a rug. Flipping a carpet is pretty extreme.
Flip the flat. Live on the ceiling.
I didn't know the difference between rug and carpet.
This is mad. This is madness.
Oh, and this is one of my blind spots.
Yeah.
We might have to have a jingle.
I think you've got the wrong
spots.
Expert in. I think you might have got a carpet expert in for a rug.
Well, I think, I sympathise with Henry, though, because as a child, I always thought this, because whenever anyone got on a magic carpet, it was very obviously a rug. Because you can't have a magic carpet, you know, you can't fly on a carpet because nailed to the floor.
So, are you saying that a carpet is a wall-to-wall thing?
That's the way
carpet is nailed down wall-to-wall.
That's my understanding.
And then small version is rug.
So a flying carpet would be like a really complicated multi-level thing with like staircase bits in between it.
Yeah, there'd be bits of skirting board that have been wrenched out at the beginning of the flight.
And big bits of underlay falling off as they go along.
but in theory, if your whole house was single single carpet.
Go on. Double glazed with carpet.
If your whole home was wall to wall carpeted, and then you ended up in a magic carpet situation with that, you could actually have a sort of, you know, the internal structure of a home that you could fly around in, which would be more useful.
The origins of caravanning, I think.
That's one of the caravan myths, isn't it? Mm. One of the origin myths that they.
So hang on, this carpet expert that you brought in, and I assume gave money, pound sterling.
Well, I think it might have been one of those ones where it was no win, no fee. I think it was no win, no fee. And but I think it was almost one of those ones where he went like, listen, I'm not even going to take your money, mate. And I'm like, oh, please just take some money and make it better. But he wouldn't even take my money.
Oh, at least he's not. Yeah. I was worried that you'd given a man like 50 quid to come and look at a stain.
I did pay him in the end. I think he said I could have a go, but it definitely won't work.
And were you burgled 3 days later?
But...
Everything apart from the stained carpet was gone.
He actually took the rest of the carpet. He cut around the stain. He left the useless stain and took the rest of the carpet and everything else I own. Yeah. And in case I hadn't been clear, he did also leave a note saying in case this isn't clear, it was definitely me. The inverted commas was carpet expert. There's no such thing, you numpty.
It's a hard lesson.
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't have given him a set of my keys on when he was leaving. Because he did say, I'm not going to charge you for this, but if I could just have a set of your keys, I might pop round and have another look at it sometime over the next year. But I'm very busy, so it'd be good if I can come in without having to pre-warn you.
Are you planning on going away for the weekend anytime soon?
Because I'm often free around that kind of time.
Yeah.
Is there room to reverse a transit at the front? Because that's... Or something even bigger, maybe, like a Luton, something like that. Have you got a parking permit we can use for the van? It's just when we're taking everything, it's useful to not, you know.
Yeah. If you could lock your cat away in the attic over the next year as well, because some of the boys find it very distressing when there's a cat witnessing what we do.
Chris has got terrible allergies.
Do you think, Henry, if your flat was broken into, that Bluebell would offer any resistance to the incoming criminals?
No, absolutely not. She's not a security cat.
She'd hide in a drawer, wouldn't she? Last time I came around, she hid in a drawer, and she's met me before.
Yeah, no, she'll hide in a drawer if anyone comes around. It's her way of saying hello.
Hidden a pile of pants.
Yep, she likes the pant drawer. Yeah, no, she's not a sociable. She's not a sociable cat.
She was at the vet this morning. Is she all right?
She was at the vet. She actually puked the other day, but just next to the carpet, the same carpet we were talking about.
And did you apply bicarbonate of soda?
I applied bicarbonate of soda to the whole of Bluebell. And again, it didn't work.
So this week's topic is flags.
Flags.
Flags. Whoa. Sent in by Kathy from Bremen. Thank you, Kathy.
Kathy from Bremen.
Kathy from Bremen.
Very good.
Thanks, Kathy.
So, Mike, obviously, we found out recently on this podcast that you had a very martial upbringing.
Absolutely.
You know, I wasn't inducted into the militia in the same way that you were, but I did go to scouts a bit. Or maybe beavers or cubs or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember that the weird thing about cubs and scouts and what have you is they try to instill in you that there are some important principles, right?
Nationalism.
One of which is that you should never let the flag touch the ground.
Right, yeah.
Is this something that you came across when you were doing your militia training?
No, I think they probably thought that we were old enough that we understood that implicitly. I never did the scouts or the beavers or any of that business. My sister did do brownies. Have I talked to you about this before?
No.
No.
She did brownies and hated every minute of it and decided to leave. And when she left, there was such disgust from her brown owl that she had to undergo an expulsion ceremony.
Oh, my God.
And
why did she consent to being involved in that?
Did they have to dress her up? Did she have to dress up as a turd?
And being they're already dressed as turds.
Okay,
so yeah. That box is ticked.
But then was she expelled out of the anus of a giant owl?
Digestive tract talk.
She was pelleted, is what
they call pelleted.
It. She was
pelleted.
She had a bunch of old shrew bones stuck to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and was vomited out of the beak.
Okay,
of
nice.
The grand great owl.
Yeah.
Giant papier-mâché beak.
Yeah.
But I watched this ceremony. My mother and I went to pick her up, and my mother was sort of hovering by the door, and I watched through the keyhole.
She was hovering because obviously she had the fully functioning owl suit.
Exactly, because she was fully qualified.
She was fully qualified. She'd gone through all the stages. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And she had to be essentially denounced by all the other brownies. And at the very end of it, all of the brownies who were remaining, they stood in a long line with their legs apart.
What?
Forming a kind of a leg tunnel.
Oh,
my sister had to crawl through from the brown owl the leg tunnel towards the door. And as they went through, they were encouraged to give her a little kick.
What?
And they all gave her a little kick on the way out with their heels until she finally made it to the end and then was told to just simply leave the room.
And then
never to return.
Straight to A&E.
Exactly.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Really brutal.
But also at the same time, what a great way of confirming how correct your decision was to leave.
Oh, she has never been more certain of a decision in her life, because before that she'd been feeling a bit guilty about it. She doesn't give up on stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now it's like sister. Because I think not a lot of people change their mind halfway through the leg tunnel, do they?
Very,
very few.
Let me go back up the tunnel, please.
Guys, you know what? I've actually... Ow! Yeah, you know what? Ow! Yeah, no, this is really making me think, ow! Maybe you guys do, and the way you're all looking down at me, and just from this angle, and the being kicked and the crawling on... You know what? Maybe you guys deserve a second chance.
Or maybe some of the senior brownies seem to be at the very end of the tunnel. They're going to kick harder. So maybe I'll forget that bit. Maybe I'll see if can I backtrack?
Can I reverse? Yeah.
No, that's a one-way street.
Bloody
for
hell.
Sure.
So that was brownies, because I did beavers.
Mm.
And
that's the junior one, right?
That's the junior one.
Pre-cub.
Then there came a point where I had to learn. To become a cub, you had to learn something to do with the Queen, a speech, and I just couldn't. I couldn't do it.
I promised to do my best to something something God and the Queen.
Yeah.
To vote UKIP when possible.
To vote UKIP when possible.
To undermine the European Union, what it stands for.
Yeah, but I couldn't learn it. I mean, it wasn't on principle. It was just too long.
So you were out then, were you?
So I bowed out. I never became a carb. I only became a bee. I never got beyond beaver.
And was the purpose of beavers? Because we've covered the fact that you're an inner city rat.
Yeah.
That was the idea to get you out and about in the rolling fields of Berkshire and Hertfordshire, or was it an urban form of beavers? You learn a map, but you learn the tube map. You learn how to take a knife off a difficult teenager.
You learn how to choose an affordable and sustaining decent sandwich in a Budgeons. Yeah. To this day, I can survive for up to a week as long as I have access to a Budgeons.
£35.
£35. So, you know, thank goodness for that, because that has got me out of a few pickles. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty... in fact, you could airdrop me anywhere in the world.
Any English-speaking city in the world.
You could airdrop... You could airdrop me...
Well, they accept an Oyster card.
Into the middle of any English-speaking city which accepts Oyster cards and has contactless rolled out at the new high £100 level.
We could drop you into any three-star hotel in an English-speaking city on Earth.
It'd be wonderful to observe me. I often thought I'd make a good documentary because I'd have little...
thrive, wouldn't
I? Well, I have little tricks like, for example, if you... if a tap's, you know, so the first thing you need to do is identify a source of water. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's an ensuite bathroom, I'd start there.
Yeah. You've got the toilet bowl. Tick. You've got the shower.
Toilet bowl, tick. Shower.
Now bidet.
Shower, bidet, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little trick you can do, which is next to the bed, there may be a small, there may be a glass. Take that glass.
Mm-hmm.
Put that. If you don't want to touch the toilet water, you can, if there's a flannel, you can wrap that around the glass.
Or just drop the flannel in and then strain the flannel into the glass.
Well, you could, another way to do it is you put the flannel in your teeth, you dip the flannel into the toilet water, then you go out into the main bedroom. Now, if it's a three-star hotel, there should be a semi-desk. It's basically a bit like a desk, except it's only got two legs. And the rest of it is sort of drilled into the wall.
It's too narrow to do any sort of work on at all.
You can't do any admin on it. The only way...
there's also quite a lot of irons and hair dryers on it already.
Yeah.
There might be a couple of sort of brochures for local attractions, like a helicopter museum or something like that.
There'll be that kind of thing. You can only write on it if you're using A7 paper. So it's not big enough to do any useful admin. But basically what you do is you sit on the... on the little stool they might have in front of the semi-desk, and you drape the sodden flannel onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that desk isn't big enough for a flannel, but this time, that's going to be helpful to you because half of that flannel is dangling off the desk. Now, all you need to do then is take the mattress off the bed, lay that down under the flannel, lie yourself down, open your gob. Within 3 hours, you'd have had several...
drops of toilet water.
Several drops of toilet water with a gob into your gob. And in that time, you feel free to browse those brochures for things to do in the local area. Maybe get on the phone and ask reception if there is a Budgeons in the area.
See, I didn't know any of that because I didn't do urban beavers.
You didn't do urban beavers. No, lots of little tips like that.
So yes, when I was in the Cubs, they employed this rhetorical technique that adults employ at children that I didn't realise I was annoyed about until this very moment. But Mike, you can maybe do this with your kids, I'm not sure. I've got a memory of teachers doing this quite a lot where they'll try and tell you how important something is and they'll frame it in terms of you'll still be using this when you're an adult. So it's very important that you do this now.
Yeah.
So in the Cubs, it was like, at all times you need to carry... a cassette case, like a see-through cassette case.
Because this technology will never become obsolete.
And in there is a copy of Phil Collins' No Jacket Required album, and that...
it's the ultimate icebreaker.
Because that album will always remain cool and good. We've reached what Francis Fukuyama is describing as the end of music, and it's pretty much been rolled out. Everyone's agreed. No Jacket Required. It's the mixture of slightly jazzy drums, pop sensibility, occasional guitar solos, and a singer called Phil. We've worked out this is what...
It's the platonic ideal of music. anyway, so we'd have the cassette case, no cassette in it.
Yep.
In there would be, I'm trying to remember exactly, 10p, so you could use a public phone box.
Of course.
A small pencil and a piece of paper, so you can, I guess, write your will if it... I don't know why that's there.
Who are you going to leave your toys and stickers to? Make that decision now.
What else? Those are the main things I remember. There was something else in there. Maybe a sticking plaster or an elastic band. Or a little...
A piece of string.
I think there might have been a piece of string. And the whole point was like, you're meant to carry this everywhere at all times. Because, you know, you'll... But obviously, we had to take it to Cubs. And then at the beginning of Cubs, we had to put it on the floor in front of us. And they'd inspect them and make sure we had them.
Oh, really?
But of course, I never carried it around the rest of them. It was only Thursday evenings I would have it on me.
Yeah.
But they also, the way that they couched it in terms of like, and this will, you know, until your dying day, you're as an adult, you probably don't realize, but most adults
are
carrying
these.
Your dying
day might not come if you are carrying this cassette case.
Exactly. And do you understand what I mean when adults say, oh, this is very important to know this? And then you get to adulthood and you think, well, of course that isn't. Carrying around a cassette case is just a complete waste of time.
I mean, having 10p on you, it's a bit of a waste of time, isn't it?
Well, I think that was the only one that was actually useful back then, because obviously it was pre-mobile phones, so...
Yeah, the 10p.
Being able to call someone is quite useful, I guess.
It's also, for those tricky two-way decisions as well. It's always there.
That's true, actually.
Should I use this string to A, try and catch a fish, B, try and garrot a vole?
Should I A, listen to the A side of this Phil Collins LP, or B, listen to the B side?
Which will require me to rewind all the way through the A side. It'll take longer and a bit of a faff, and spoil the tape and spool will start to wear down. And, I'll just do A.
I'll just do A on this single. Yeah. They didn't last.
But yeah, the ultimate bollocking in Cubs was for if the flag went on the floor. And I remember them once saying, the flag being on the floor is the same as the Queen being on the floor.
And she, of course, as we know, never touches the floor.
Never touches the floor.
She always hovers at least 3 inches above it at all times.
She started a game of lava when she was 14. When she was 14 with a Dutch prince.
That's the basis of all monarchy, isn't it? William the Conqueror starts a game of lava when he came across.
Yeah.
And since then, no monarch has ever touched the floor.
She's been skirting around mantelpieces and window frames ever since.
Oh, yeah, she's very live.
Partly explains her longevity, because it obviously keeps extremely fit.
Yeah.
Doing that.
And they were quite cagey, weren't they, about why Prince Philip had died, and it was just because he had finally touched the floor.
He finally touched the floor. and you know...
You know the rules, Pip. Yeah,
and the Queen... You know, willingly, and it would have been with a smile on her face, would have ran him through the neck with a battle sword.
I win, Pip. I win.
Billy the Conqueror's own battle sword. Yeah. Old,
it's
rusty.
It's a two-handed one.
Yeah.
So you can hold it with both hands. It's got it's double handled.
Yeah.
So
his hand and the hand of his valet.
Hand of his valet, just for a bit more heft.
On this topic, we had a tweet this week from renowned public historian Greg Jenner.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
Of Horrible Histories and You're Dead to Me podcast fame. Yeah. He was reacting to a few episodes ago. Henry, you claimed that your wedding venue was the place where Henry VIII had swollen up and exploded after death. And he was saying that that wasn't the case. It was William the Conqueror.
I did read that, and I've contacted the venue, and apparently it's too late now for any sort of refund.
being from a country that's got a non-colour block flag, I think it's really good. Like, in general, people seem to like the flag and all that kind of stuff. The thing I will say is that when you're in primary school and everyone has to draw the flag for St. David's Day, you get an incredible array of mainly what look more like horses, winged horses than dragons. Yeah. It's really funny. If you go to any primary school around March the 1st, every classroom will be full with very, very poorly drawn Welsh flags because it's very hard to sort of nail it when you're 5 years old.
It's quite a complex dragon as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah. Also, what's quite funny is I think only recently has the dragon become, there is like a version of it, which is the official version. So historically, like the dragon's been up to you, how you draw it over the years. Ah. So there's lots of different versions of them. Some of them are better than others. But now we've got a kind of official.
I'm just looking at it online. That is a hell of a task to draw that. Bloody hell. It's a really complicated dragon. It's so ornate. It's got loads of twiddles and curls and like it's got an underbelly. It's quite strange. That is. I think Wales has got the most sort of breaking with flag tradition flag.
Well, Bhutan.
What's Bhutan?
Look at Bhutan.
Okay.
It's that times a million.
They've got an absolute beaut, sort of sprawling on the move dragon.
Yeah. Right? Dancing dragon.
Spreading across the flag.
Oh my God, Bhutan!
Yeah.
That.
It's a treat.
I mean, that looks like it's been. They've gone. You know the Welsh flag.
The Kingdom of Bhutan's principal economic rival.
Yeah.
Wales.
Because what. Think about it, guys. What have we got? Oil. Have they got oil? Where is Bhutan?
I don't think so.
Cut this, mate.
It's near Nepal, isn't it?
It's Himalayan.
Cut this. Oh, is it? Oh, shit.
Where did you think it was?
It just sounds like...
You think it was like Brunei or something?
Yeah, I think I've mixed it up with Brunei. It sounds a bit Brunei-ish.
I think Brunei's got a good flag as well.
But the Bhutan flag dragon is very much... He's very much in motion. He's got all these undulations through his beard and through his hair.
You're making him sound more like Richard Branson than a...
He does actually look like Richard Branson. Have a look at him.
They stand out, which must be sickening to countries where they've pretty much got the same flag as someone else's flag.
Yeah, I think. Poland has
like
got
a sort
the same
of Poland
flag
and Indonesia and Malta. They're very route one.
What have they got?
They've all got a red stripe and a white stripe.
Yeah.
I think Malta's might be square. That's them sort of trying to mark themselves out a bit.
It's a shame, isn't it, when a national country's flag could be mistaken for a do not swim here flag on a beach.
Oh my God, yeah, Poland. That's a shame, isn't it? That just looks like you're looking at the horizon from an insect's view within a bowl of tomato soup.
You've made it a lot more interesting than it is there. Yes.
That's what they were going for, and no one gets it. Really annoys
no
them.
No one understands. Brazil is very good.
Brazil is a classic.
Lovely
Brazil
colours.
Is one of the ones where it's one of the first you can identify when you're a small child.
Yes.
It works as a logo as well for the Havaianas flip-flop brand.
It does.
Because I bought a pair of those recently. And
is this the second episode in a row we're talking about flip-flops?
I think it might be. What were they?
Give me.
Did we say about them? Oh, yeah, Mike's flip-flops. I bought some Havaianas. How do you say Havaianas? Because I said it the other day and I got it wrong. Someone picked me up on it.
Havaianas.
Is it Havaianas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those words that I've read but not said.
I think the problem is you're putting a kind of racist accent on it.
That's the...
You're going too hard. You're pressing deep.
I'm pressing.
I think it's like you're putting too much. There's too much riding on it for you.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you just
so I'm leaning into it too hard. That's what that is what I'll do sometimes.
You just got to
let it go. It's heavy. Yeah,
throw it away.
Because the other problem I had, the other word I had that with was Warburton's bread. Which I'd been mentally calling Warburton's my whole life because I'd seen it but not said it, and then
because well, it is to be fair, it is spelled W-A-R.
Well, it's spelled what?
There's the Second World War. And
there's the War of the Roses.
There's the Anglo-Norman Irish Wars.
There's the expression to feel that you're a bit in the Wars. and of course, you know, there's the internal War that we all fight with ourselves in some ways.
Black Sabbath's hit "Wah Pigs."
Wah Pigs.
Yeah. Oh, wah, what it isn't good for.
Yeah. No, wah, what is it good for?
Yeah.
Not what isn't it good for?
War.
Huh. Wow, what
isn't it
what,
good
what
for?
What is or isn't it good
that's
for?
Is that the more militaristic version that you play to your children? the French flag, by the way, little thing, if you're ever drawing the French flag, you need a little helpful memory thing to how to draw it.
Yeah.
You think red, white, blue, because that's the phrase, isn't it? Red, white, and blue. I think it's a phrase. Mm. It's actually the other way around, blue, white, red. That's the way of remembering it.
So what's the way of remembering it?
Well, the way of remembering it is you think it's probably likely to be blue, white, and red because that's the phrase. No, sorry, red, white, and blue. What is the phrase red, white, and blue? I don't know what it means, but it is a phrase.
You just claimed it's a phrase.
And then what you do is you remember it's not that. It's the other way around. So the key thing is you have to just naturally remember that it's the wrong way around. That you just have to do that naturally. I can't.
So your way of remembering it is just you just need to remember.
You've got such a gift for teaching. I think you're wasted in this industry. Yeah.
I do have a few. Do you have any mnemonics that you use?
I mean, again, you're leaning into it too hard.
I think a lot of the time
you just put extra syllables in the different words.
Do you have any mnemonics that you use?
I sometimes actually do fall back on never eat shredded wheat.
Oh, yeah.
But what's that a mnemonic for? Whether or not you should eat shredded wheat?
Come on, you were an urban.
I forgot. Sorry.
You were an urban beaver.
So I thought.
You must know this.
Sorry, I remember it now. I thought you were saying that was what your way to remember that you shouldn't eat shredded wheat.
Henry instinctively knows which way north is because he knows. If you got on the northern line and go in a certain direction, you're going north.
That's right.
As an urban beaver.
That's how you tell.
Never eat shredded wheat is that is where the world of mnemonics and the world of cereal economics clash hard, isn't it? Because that must have cost them billions, I'd say, by now.
Yeah, as a subconscious message that has been given to every school child
in
Britain.
You can't pay for industrial
for publicity that bad
or for industrial terrorism, if that's a phrase, that good, if you were working for Weetabix, for example. I mean, that is from a young age. I mean, think about it. If you're from Weetabix and you think, how are we going to bring these people down, shredded wheat, if you could say in that meeting, I've got a way to make children, hear me out, children from a young age repeat to themselves the phrase never eat shredded wheat 4-5 times a week from the age of 4 to the age of 14-15, where they'll start getting into music and stuff, and they'll be less orienteering they'll be less focused on orienteering, they'll probably know their way around a compass by that point, and but from the ages of 4 until 14, it's that phrase, isn't it? If you want me to dictate what cereals a kid won't eat, then just give me access to a child who's into orienteering from the age of 4 to 14. And I will...
I will brainwash them.
Never eat shredded wheat. It will have an impact. And even in my mind now, I think of shredded wheat as something that's probably not as nice as Weetabix. I don't know if that's actually fair.
Yeah, it might just be we've been brainwashed. Yeah. Any other mnemonics? Richard of York fought battle in vain. What's that for?
Gave battle in vain. Colours of the rainbow.
Yes.
But that's got a song, red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange.
But it's not in the right order, though, is it, the song?
Richard of York gave battle in vain.
Then there's that one which is Harry, Georgie 3, John and Stephen, George and Peter, Stephen, Harold, John and Steve, Peter, Stephen and William, which is
your password.
Which is my password for my Hotmail. No, that's the Kings of England, the Kings and Queens of England, isn't there? There's one that goes like that. But it's two.
But that's just their names in order. That's not a mnemonic. No. That's, again, just remembering it.
Can I quickly squeeze a quick plug in before we hit correspondence, please?
Yeah,
plug away.
Which is that our friend of the show, top draw comedian Daniel Rigby, has written a novel which is being released on Audible, called Isaac Steele and the Forever Man. And I have read it because I had a sneaky preview before it got recorded. And it's really effing bloody good and very, very funny. Comedy, sci-fi, mystery, set in a totally new universe that he's built up for our pleasure. So get your laggholes on that.
What's it called again?
It is called Isaac Steele and the Forever Man by Daniel Rigby. It's on Audible and it's jolly, really good.
Who's read the book? Please. Who's read it out?
He has read it himself. Ah. And as we know, he's...
excellent.
He is an excellent performer.
He's a fantastic performer. So performer and general amazing guy.
So that's, yeah, double points there, I'd say. Good.
Okay, emails. This first one comes from Daniel McCabe. He says, salutations, Beans. I'm writing in response to the claim made on the podcast that onions are never the front runner of crisp flavours. So you might remember that we were saying.
You know, that was one where I thought, as I was saying that, I thought I might rue it.
Is Henry about to rue it?
I don't know if he's going to rue it. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, so we were saying, essentially, it tends to be cheese and onion, beef and onion. Yeah, it's right, never the other way around. In response to this, I've attached an image of a bag of Swedish crisps, which are flavoured with not one, not two, but three types of onion.
Wow.
Whoa.
The tagline translates to fine ruffled crisps with onion, onion, and more onion. And they're called three times lock, which I think means three times onion. Thanks, Dan.
So the three types of onion are standard onion, red onion, and
spring.
Is it? I'm trying to look on the packet.
Oh, he has gone to the ends of the earth to find this pack of crisps. He's ventured to the Arctic Circle.
Bhutan, Mozambique,
Malaysia,
Brazil,
Argentina,
Antarctica.
But he could find none, so he bought a Swedish crisp company and forced them to make the three times onion flavour. Do you reckon each crisp tastes of all three onions, or do you get like, oh, that's a red onion one, oh, that's a spring onion one?
Well, you could have a similar debate about the three cheese pizza, couldn't you, Ben?
How do you mean?
Well, does each slice taste of one of the different cheeses? Clearly not, because they're all melted on together. But I mean...
Oh, I see. I was in a restaurant the other day that boasted an 11 cheese pizza.
It's a lot of cheese. I'd struggle to name 11 cheeses.
Come on, Mike, you can do that.
Go on.
Cheddar, Gouda, Gorgonzola, Brie, Camembert, Emmental.
Yeah, halfway there.
Mozzarella. Stilton, Red Leicester.
Tim wants to go.
Baby Bell. And
come on.
Of course, let's not forget smoked cheese.
Smoked cheese.
Oh, Mike. There's some big ones left on the table there.
What did I miss?
Parmesan, mozzarella.
Parmesan.
Oh, come on.
Ricotta. The burrata.
Taleggio.
Oh.
The one with walnuts in.
The Philly.
Of course. Didn't even mention Yarg.
Roquefort.
Stinking Bishop.
Oh. Yeah. We could do a cheese ep. You know, I used to live near a cheesemonger, and the smell of it was so good that sometimes, even when it was closed, I'd walk past and I would open up the letterbox and just sniff. I'd have a little sniff on the way.
Oh, you were the Chiswick pervert they had on Crime Watch.
The Chiswick cheese sniffer.
That's right.
I was the Chiswick cheese sniffer, and they're on
it was on Crime Watch for years.
Yeah, because you could just see my nose poking through the letterbox from inside the from inside the cheesemongers.
They never thought to put CCTV on the outside.
They never thought to put it on the outside.
They just thought you were trying to get in.
Yeah.
That one day you'd manage to squeeze your way through.
Because technically, over the years, there was an argument that I had actually stolen some cheese just through smell. What was the question?
I didn't think there was a question. I think
I still think the point holds, though, doesn't it? Because it's always, it's like liver and onion. Even outside of the crisps world, onion is the a football metaphor would be. It's one of those like midfielders that just gets on with it. You don't really notice them. That's what onion does. It bolsters, or it's the bass player, or the drummer. Maybe it's like the drummer for a lot of dishes.
The unsung hero.
It's the unsung hero.
We don't know as well how successful the triple onion crisp is. Is it a smash hit?
Yeah, that's what we need to know.
In Scandinavia, or have they made a single batch and it's resulted in civil unrest? We don't know.
Well, let us know, Daniel. I don't know if Daniel, if you're in Sweden, but if so, maybe give us a review of the old onion flavored crisps.
Yes, please.
Next email is from Robert. Robert says, "Hello, Beans. While discussing..." Oh, this is in reference to last week's episode. "While discussing Mike's season 4 Baywatch stint in the buffet episode, you mentioned how a number of girls were left to drown as Mike was occupied cleaning up Pam's shit on the beach. For clarification, as it wasn't particularly clear, was the shitting Pam Mike's dog or Pamela Anderson?"
This was my dog Pam, but portrayed by Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Pam has no formal training and doesn't really want the limelight as such. And obviously in TV and movies, they don't use real dogs.
No, of course not. You're not allowed. Obviously you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to get a highly trained actor to portray the dog.
And Pamela, of course, went with method with everything she did, wasn't she? Very method.
Well, she was living with Pam side by side, doing everything for months.
Yeah, and so she had seen Pam shit on a beach, hasn't she?
Yeah.
In real life.
Of course. Yeah.
And so while...
And she was great. She gave it a go and she pinched one off on pebble beaches, sandy beaches. You know, she tried it all. And rock pools.
Yeah.
She really mastered it, and then she was ready to film.
Yeah. And all that happened then was that you, instead of rescuing the actors, well, the actors who were playing extras who were drowning. Yeah, you.
No, that was using real people. Oh, that was very real, much a verite.
It was the verite season, wasn't it? Season four. Yeah. It was a verite.
They were actually sort of drowning. Yeah, drowning holidaymakers.
Drowning holidaymakers. Yeah. So it was a real turd.
The real turd.
But intended fictitious.
Fake dog.
Real drowning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the...
Real flip-flops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cleared that up. Next email. This is from someone called Alex. Mm-hmm. "Hi, whoever you are. What the fuck is going on?"
Oh, dear.
Interesting start.
Okay.
"I'm called Alex, and I'm one of the two business partners running the Soup Dragon Cafe."
Oh, God.
This keeps running.
"Several people have come in saying Pompidou, demanding 20% off, and have got really pissy when no one knew what they were talking about. Stephen's gone on holiday and lost his phone."
Of course he has.
"I know he listens to his stupid pork podcast in the mornings."
Back. Yeah.
"Is this anything to do with that?"
Our stupid what podcast?
"I know he listens to his stupid pork podcast in the morning."
Alex the real deal?
What pork podcast? What's that?
"Maybe he listens to my beef themed podcast."
Oh, I see. No, right. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Right. Yeah.
"I'm really only emailing you in desperation. Please write back, Alex, Soup Dragon Cafe."
Is he really the Alex of the Soup Dragon Cafe? Though? That's what I want.
Can I say what I think this is? This is something
I've been... Is this an interloper?
I think I know what this is. Something I've been worried about, which is a copycat Spurbza.
You think?
That's what I wonder.
I think it could be a copycat.
I've got the same vibe.
Because Spurbs is...
They've gone to the trouble of creating a Soup Dragon email address.
I wouldn't put it past.
Does it correspond with our...
Previous...
Our good friend Steve's? That's what I...
Does it?
No, he would send that from his own personal account.
Oh, really?
You see, my worry is that... I think we're partly guilty of this, but really it's the media mainly, I think, at fault. But basically, Spurbs has, let's face it, has to a degree been glamorized, hasn't he? And that's, I've always known this is a risk with Spurbs from the beginning, which is, okay, what do we know? Yes, Spurbs is a problem. B, he's a very, very big problem.
We have to have a conversation about it.
We have to have a conversation about it.
On a societal level.
We can't just sweep him under the carpet.
We can't sweep Spurbs under the carpet.
But we'd also don't want kids going around pretending to be Spurbsing their friends.
Exactly.
Spurbsing around the place, their teachers, their parents.
I don't want to be turning around to you guys in 10 years saying, we're living in a Spurbs nation. Do you know what I mean? I don't want that to happen. And I'm worried that now there's a slippery Spurbs slope that we've got...
You worry that we're the fart on the birthday candle?
I think we might be the fart on the birthday candle, which leads the whole cake to explode. what I'm saying is, I just think we've given him so much airtime. We are glamorizing. There will be kids out there now listening to this going, I could be Spurbs. I could.
But Henry, let me interject here. I believe that you being this way, you have been spurred, because you may have, we may have received an email from one of the business partners who went to the Superman Cafe, and you're blinded by your obsession with this guy Spurbs, that you have projected Spurbs onto this innocent man who is, there are people coming in demanding 20% off their bill, getting into fist fights over the paninis, soups.
I don't even mention the mockers.
And you're accusing this man of being Spurbs, which is like accusing someone of being the worst, well, it's the most dark.
I suppose it's like the witch trials, isn't it? You know, as soon as you said that word.
What, do you mean the McCarthyite witch trials or the witches' witch trials?
Both.
I know what you mean.
Similar vibe.
Although the McCarthyite ones, it wasn't very effective when McCarthy called people a witch, I think, on the whole.
Didn't work well, did it?
Didn't work well, no.
So they changed it to communist.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could be about to live in a similar era to 1950s American sort of paranoia about communism, but for communism you substitute Spurbs. Because who is
you
Spurbs?
Think there's gonna be some sort of committee for pro Spurbs activities.
Wouldn't be surprised. And who is Spurbs, who isn't Spurbs? I mean, everyone now is looking at their loved ones and their children and, you know, with suspicion now. Could they be Spurbs? Could there be someone imitating Spurbs?
Oh, what have we done?
Could Pam be Spurbs?
Oh my God.
The timeline fits.
It does.
And in a way, almost Spurbs doesn't even need to do anything anymore because he's started the ball rolling. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but what I don't understand, Henry, is this guy from the Soup Dragon Cafe, who I believe to be genuine.
Okay.
You've tarred him with the Spurbs brush.
Yeah.
But Daniel McCabe, who emailed earlier with his quite fanciful, clearly not true idea that there's a three onion crisp. Completely not true. I mean, there's no way that's true.
I waved that through, didn't
I? Who's creating an onion?
I waved that straight through, didn't I?
You did.
I waved that straight
through. But for me, that has got the hallmark of a Spurbsing right there.
We don't
there,
even know for sure whether there is even any such place as Sweden. I've certainly never been there.
I've never been to Sweden.
I've been, but I'm not sure it was real.
Could have been VR.
It was weirdly expensive. Seemed odd.
Yeah.
And if it is entirely VR, they'll have to recoup those costs.
It might just have been Gatwick's mythical sixth terminal you're in.
Yeah. What places are expensive? Airports, service stations,
always
holiday
expensive.
Resorts. Yeah. You know? You could have just been in a Scandinavian-themed centre park.
Yeah.
How would you know?
There's not much crime in Sweden. There's not much crime in airports.
Exactly.
That would have tallied as well.
Mm-hmm. But some of the world's biggest crimes have taken place in airports.
Have they? If you're talking about how much they charge for a sandwich in France, then I agree.
So that's what I'm saying, Henry, is we've all thrown the Spurbs shade at different people. I don't understand why you've done it to this innocent cafe owner and not the...
Look,
not Daniel McCabe, who's clearly a master of, you know, of chaos, an agent of chaos.
What, down to photoshopping a fake crisp packet?
Exactly.
Have any of us Googled lock to see if it means onion in Swedish? I can't be bothered.
No, and I'm not going to.
Neither am I.
So we're at an impasse.
We're at a complete impasse here, and Spurbs knows that. He knows we're weak. He knows we have short attention spans. We get distracted and want to sit down sometimes. Look, I think maybe it's time to just admit the age of Spurbs is upon us. And we just have to hope that one day a chosen one will be born.
Could they have already been born?
They could already have been born. They'll have the mark of Spurbs upon them. No one knows what that is. Could be a picture of three onions potentially on their forehead. Or just oniony breath. And that it will be their job to, you know, take Spurbs down.
To bring balance.
Bring balance back to the universe.
So if any listeners have recently had a baby, check for us the three onion tattoo, which they might have.
And get in touch with the show.
Okay, final email for today. And I think let's take this guy on face value, this last guy, because there needs to be some hope, isn't there, that we're getting genuine emails from actual listeners.
Yeah, we'll take this one on face value.
Hey Beans, says Alex. So Alex was the person who suggested our topic from last week, buffets. So he says, thanks for chatting about buffets. It was inspirational. As a thanks, this is amazing. This is the best email we've ever had.
Okay.
Ooh.
As a thanks, here is an accordion rendition of your opening theme.
No. Are you serious? Th- That is absolutely amazing.
So we will use that to play out
so
this episode.
Cheerful.
If anyone else wants to send in a version of the theme tune, I think this would be a nice thing to get going.
In a different genre as well. Let's get different genres.
But all on the accordion.
But all on the accordion.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But that was fantastic. Thank you.
That was amazing.
What a treat. Lovely. Well, let's hear that again and play it out. Where we go. Thanks, everybody.
All right, well, thank you for listening.
Thanks, all.
Until next time, goodbye.
Bye.